maybe the most pressing news, if there is that, is this idea of the Big Ten transfer proposal.
Right.
What are your thoughts on how it work? Are you in favor of it?
Yeah. No, well actually, there were two proposals that we had teed up. One was to allow those in those five sports, allow those student athletes to be able to transfer and be immediately eligible. That was one. The other one was to reverse it and say the student athletes in all the other sports would have to sit out a year. So we had two proposals teed up to force the membership to try and make a decision one way or the other. I'm on the side of letting the athletes transfer and be immediately eligible.
Anywhere.
And many of the ADs were of the same opinion. But basically, we have been talking about the transfer thing for like 2-3 years now. Somewhere along the line, we needed to face the question as a membership and vote on it. Now, at the same time we were teeing that up, the Board of Governors put a moratorium on new transfer legislation.
Yeah, more for the Big Ten or the overall NCAA you're talking about now?
The NCAA.
Okay.
So the legislation that we put up was to go into the NCAA structure to be voted on by all the members in Division One.
Right.
Okay. But the Board of Governors for Division One decided, we're going to have a moratorium and let the current some new things in the transfer field go through. They're going to study it and then make a determination at some point what the heck we're going
to
do.
Now, is this another moratorium to study ad nauseum? She's never going to make a decision, or do you think there's going to be
I don't know. I think at some point there'll have to be some decision made on what we're going to do moving forward. But it would still have to come out of legislation. And so I guess our legislation at some point will be introduced into the system. But they asked us to basically table it until they have an opportunity to study it further.
Why are you in favor of it?
Well, I just think that, we're at a day and point in a time where, you have a different kid. And I've always been of the philosophy, and it's always been my philosophy, if a young person gets to a point where they want to transfer, majority of time is playing time. That's easy. Okay, let them go. If it's for reasons that we truly don't understand, then we need to look at ourselves. What didn't we do? Did we not meet a promise that we made?
Mm-hmm.
Is our culture such that that young person didn't have a quality experience? What didn't we do? Don't look at the kid. Look at us. And so I've been of the opinion, and my coaches know it, when we get to that point and a young kid is ready to leave, let him go. And I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I don't know how you continue to justify that these student athletes in these five sports don't
basketball.
Get the same opportunity that the other athletes in swimming get.
Right. Basketball, football.
Men's and women's basketball, football, ice hockey, and is it baseball? I forgot what the other fifth one is. But the reality is they should be provided the same opportunities as the other student athletes. And it's just, it's just not right. And so I've always been of the opinion that, let them go. Now, some people will debate, in league,
right.
And that's something we'd have to talk about.
And what's your view of that?
Let them go.
So if a kid decided, hey, I want to go play at Michigan.
Let them go. Jacoby decided to come and play at Ohio State. Let them go. Now, Jonah Jackson had to graduate to come to Ohio State. So look in the mirror. What didn't we do right? Why does that kid want to leave in the first place, regardless of where they want to go?
Yeah.
What didn't we do? Or what should we do differently? So anyway, I just think it's a whole new world. And I think, when you may have been the one to ask the question today with Ryan. When Ryan talked about, I can't remember who asked the question, when Ryan talked about relationships with recruits, how the recruits would get on the plane to come here.
That wasn't my question. But
it's okay. Somebody asked it.
When they got here and they felt like they had lost.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so it's a relationship issue. So to me, I've always been of the proponent when a young person gets to that point. Now, sometimes it's the parents. or a third party. Still, when that young person gets there, let them go.
I would just play devil's advocate. Would there be an issue where you could get people that you don't want involved saying, well, you ought to go to this school? In other words, the third uncle.
You got that all over. You already got that. You already got that.
Okay.
So your only difference is they're sitting or they're trying to apply for a waiver not to sit.
Does that rule, it's benefited you.
Yeah, but the numbers aren't big.
Does that rule make any sense? I mean, put it this way.
Sure,
it
does.
Do you have any idea of the rhyme or reason for why the NCAA approves or doesn't
approve
different?
Sure, I do. Yeah, each case is different. Everybody's trying to put everybody's case in the same boat, and it's not true. Now, first of all, the numbers aren't as big as what people think.
Right.
You have some high-profile ones that make people think, oh, my God, there's so many of them. But it's not that many. But first of all, you have to justify that you have an extenuating circumstance. You know, if a student-athlete, you know, has been seeing a counselor or a psychologist for a period of time and is documented, and they literally get to a point where, you know what, I need to be closer to home in order to help overcome this issue. It's documented. It's not something they came up with and said, okay, I want to transfer, so let me retroactively decide that I got it. No, you got to prove that. So every case has to have some substance to it where it's proven that your rationale makes sense. You know, whether people believed it or not with Justin, that's up to them. But it was documented. And Grimes at Florida, it was documented. You can just go through every single case. So what has happened is some young people have tried to create a case, and that's where they failed. And so, yeah, I get it. I mean, I get it 100%. But which, by the way, under our proposal, that becomes moot.
Sure.
It becomes moot.
Just go.
Just let them go.
Ohio State didn't want to say anything at the time, which is completely understandable about Justin's situation. You just brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you can share about why that was?
No, I'm not going to go. That's his personal deal.
You have talked, used the word holistic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the sense that that philosophy concept is becoming more prevalent mm-hmm. elsewhere. Do you get that sense? And I guess it really came up recently with DJ Carton.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that it's not just about a basketball player.
I've always felt that, Bill. I mean, you know, we have to, I've always felt you have to develop the whole person. And being sensitive to the human being. And, you know, if you want to be narrowly focused and say, okay, I want to win, then you know you got to make sure that that human being is right. But that's not all of it, right? You send your son or daughter to us. We sit in your living room, and we tell you we're going to help them be a great football player. You know, we're going to help them get their degree. But we're going to be an extension of you and help them grow as a person. You've instilled values in them. And so that's what we say. And that's what I want to stay true to. All my coaches know that when we make that promise, that's what we're going to do. So how do we help them get through the challenges that they're going to face in that 3, 4, or 5 years in college, which, as you would know, well know that, you know, there's some challenges
it's
they face.
It's a pressure career. I mean,
it
you
is.
Guys don't make any
no bones about.
Hey, this is we come here. You come here. We expect to win championships. And we're going
right.
to push you as hard as
that's
you can
right.
be pushed.
That's right. You'll be the best student that you can be in the classroom. You got to compete in the classroom here. This, you know, the average ACT is 29.5. You know, 90%+ of our kids are in the top of the institution, are in the top 25% of the class when they come here. So you can't, you know, it's not a place where you can, like, you know, skate. You better bring it. And which means, you know, if you are in our SASO structure and you require tutoring, you got to be there. You can't miss it. I mean, this is a lot of different worlds. Plus today's kids. I mean, we've all read articles. It's the social media pressures, their identity in that space, and it's just changed our world, and it's created pressures for them. It really has, and I'm sensitive to that. So So yes, the holistic approach, I think, is getting more play nationally. You know, there were other ADs who were like me, Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma. He and I came up together. He was always taught the same way. Kevin White to do. So there's this always been there, but I think it's getting more prevalent, particularly as you look at the challenges that kids are facing today.
Yeah. You stepped down from the CFP football committee.
Yeah.
I assume you have no second thoughts about that.
Zip. The only thing I miss is going to Dallas. That was always fun.
Grapevine?
Yeah, I love the grapevine. I love the food.
What do you think it would have been like this year?
Oh, man, we've been out of the room.
I know.
We've been out so much. And so we benefit from that. You know, that was not my reason for stepping down. But we benefited from that. There's no question. And so, I don't know. I didn't have to think back to who was – Fifth.
Was it Georgia?
It was Georgia fifth.
I probably
would not have been out of the room as much, but would have been out, and that would have been uncomfortable for me considering what we went through last year.
And you would not have had a Big Ten representative in the room.
That's right, and it makes a big sense now. Gary's chair.
How much do you think that hurts you in past years when you didn't have somebody lobbying?
I think maybe 1 year it may have, but the other year, no. First year, I don't think it hurt. You know, the last year, I think it may have.
Yeah,
because Joe and I and Frank Beamer were out at the same time, if I remember right.
That like when the three of you were out of the room?
It's like, it's funny as heck. You know, it's funny. You're just sitting there waiting for you to be called back in and hope they remember to call you back in.
Right.
The camaraderie. The thing I miss was the camaraderie, being with my colleagues and talking football and those relationships that matter. And so I miss that. It's definitely a better situation for us. And then I was here for Ryan, which was, that was the Sundays and the Mondays I was here, and that meant a lot to me.
Let's talk about Ryan's first year.
Mm-hmm.
He went on OM to a certain degree.
Yeah.
It's always an educated guess,
mm-hmm.
but certainly it was somebody you would never
calculate. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. How, in your estimation, did it go?
It went great.
Beyond the record.
Went better than I thought. I mean, no one could have a crystal ball and say it would go as good as it went. And on so many different levels, Bill. Obviously, the wins were phenomenal, and how we performed was phenomenal. But to look at how he created his culture, how he administered his team of people. People tend to forget about the personnel management part of this. I mean, you see it because you're around it. He just doesn't have his assistant coaches. He's got all those other people. And so that personnel management is a significant responsibility. And he did a masterful job with that. And then shifting the culture a little bit to his style versus Urban's style. Thought it was masterful. I mean, quantifiably, the best way to look at it is how he changed the office into more of a living room.
A fireplace.
Yeah. I mean, and that says something, right? That ties to what he was trying to do. I just think he did a better than expected job. Never lost his cool. Except in the locker room after the semi game, which he should have lost his cool, as we all did. But the, I was here. Had I been on the CFP, I wouldn't have been here for the Chase Young situation. I would have been traveling for a piece of that, but I was here every day for that, in the middle of it. And how he handled that was phenomenal. He curious, because he'd never been through it before, so he asked the right questions. Very helpful and nice and insightful, offering thoughts along the way, communicating with the family, communicating with Chase. I mean, that was a case study and how to do it. So he's been, he killed it. He absolutely killed it.
What was that like, that weekend, you got that anonymous tip?
Yeah, it was an experience. I mean, you have to, be smart about it, work with the family the right way, work with the young man the right way, make sure you crossing your T's and dotting your I's as you go through the process so that you can get to a point where you can make your presentation in case to minimize his sanctions. And I think we ended up in a good spot, and you know, because it could have been four games. And I think we ended up in a good spot. And he was very forthright and honest and transparent. And it took a little bit to get to that, right? And Ryan did a master, and Larry Johnson did a master job.
In terms of getting Chase to say,
tell us
everything.
Here's what happened. And I thought it was on his part and his family's part, particularly his part, you know, a show of trust that, you know, because he had the option. He could have quit and gone pro. Boom. Or say, okay, here's what I did. He stood in front of his teammates and said, here's what I did. He apologized. And you may remember better than me, I think shortly after we made the announcement, he went out publicly and apologized. I think it might have been the same morning, if I remember right. So it was kind of a, you know, one day I probably will write it up in a book, but it was a case study on how to do it and have it end up in the right spot. That's funny.
Were you concerned that it would be that the NCAA may just say, you know, four games or even more?
Oh, yeah, you're always concerned. You just don't know. But I felt we had a good case. Because of the transparency, the documentation, the NCAA investigation was congruent with ours. I mean, I felt good about it, but of course you always have concern.
About the team and the season in general, that was as dominating a team as I can recall.
It's unbelievable.
What do you think, other than just the raw talent and the coaching, was there something else behind it?
I think... you know, it's a little bit about what we talked about earlier. They had a chemistry, you know, cohesiveness that I think, you know, was kind of embedded in their love for one another, their respect for one another, their togetherness. You know, they never quit. And if you watch them on the sidelines when they were facing adversity, they were constantly helping one another. I mean, it wasn't like go to the bench, sit down, and like, you know, it was everybody's talking. I mean, it was, I watched that stuff. And I think they literally played for each other. You know, the real concept of playing for your brother, I think it was stronger and probably more genuine. So I don't know. I watched that chemistry and how they practiced together. There was something there. You know, I was never in the locker room, but having been in a locker room before as a coach and a player, my assumption is this team, the locker room was probably one of the best places to be.
Which probably made them losing to Clemson
even harder.
How have you gotten over it?
You know, I'm too old, you know, so I'm already, you know, thinking about, you know, next season and this team. And, you know, I think, you know, again, I commend Ryan and his staff for transitioning in 15 guys the right way. The recruiting thing was phenomenal. So I've already moved on to what we have to do next. We can't wallow into what happened last year. There were so many successes, when I told our team, look, we're going to bring them to the basketball game and bring them out on the floor and get the trophy there, and you know, because we tend to, you know, wallow in the loss and forget. I mean, guys are Big Ten champions. I mean, right. Think about it. They, you know, I forgot last weekend we were reminiscing about the Penn State game. Then we go on the road to go up north and play that team. Then we come back and play a team that we had already beaten in order to solidify the regular season championship. Oh, my God, they performed exceptionally well. Faced adversity in the championship game in Indianapolis, and overcame that to win it all. And And I've always said the CFP was going to do this. I've always said it. And you know, most people know I was a BCS guy, but I've always said this, the CFP was going to do to football what the NCAA basketball tournament has done to the regular season of basketball. I remember with that, I used to tell them all the time, I was on the selection committee on Sunday. We're going to play the tournament, win the tournament. And on Sunday, you win the tournament Sunday.
The Big Ten tournament.
The Big Ten tournament on Sunday. And then an hour later, the show comes on. And what happens? Nobody cares that you just won the tournament or even won the regular season championship. All they care about is your seed and where you're going. And they forgot. You just ran the gauntlet.
All right.
You just ran the gauntlet. You may have won 20-plus games out of 30-some games, and they forgot that because they're focused on six. And so we've done it. We've done it with this, and that's why we have to constantly remember the regular season. Those young men, and you said it at the beginning of our conversation, you can't remember a time when we had a more dominant team, and that can't be forgotten. And we've done that with the CFP. And so I try to not let my teammates forget that those young men performed at the highest level, particularly at the end. I mean, just think back to those three games. Phenomenal. So anyway, so yeah, I get a little passionate about that because I think we've done an injustice to the Big Ten Championship, and that means something to me.
What are your thoughts on potential playoff expansion?
I think it's going to happen. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about, first and foremost, how they do the schedule because of, you know, health and wellness. You know, I don't know. You know, it depends on how they would do the, if they do a championship game in the conference, you know, when the next game will be. And, you know, because when you look at our schedule last year, you know, playing Penn State, playing that team up north, playing Wisconsin,
only 3 weeks.
That's a brutal schedule. That's a brutal body beat deal. I mean, our guys were like after that in the cold tubs forever. So I'm concerned about that. You got finals week in there. You know, I'm kind of old school. I think, you know, there ought to be an appreciation for Christmas. There ought to be a window around Christmas. The Big Dub basketball has done that. So now you can't play 3 days around Christmas. I think the same thing ought to be for football. But anyway, so I think it's going to happen. Don't know structurally what it would look like, but I think it's going to happen at some point.
Teams,
probably eight. Yeah, there's some people that are promoting the six-game model, but I don't see how that would work. I think it's going to be eight. Six.
So you have two games that are bye?
Yeah, I have two byes, but I don't see that flying. I think the eight is probably the most logical model.
What about the eight in the first round? The quarterfinals are hosted at the higher seeds.
I don't think that's going to happen. Sounds good. And you know, we at Ohio State and the northern schools would say that's great, but that's not reality. I mean, you know, you're not going to take a contest of that level and take the risk with inclement weather. It's, you're just not. And you may say that we're going to play in more geographically northern type sites, Ford Field, you know, Indianapolis or Minneapolis now with their facility. But I think you take a huge risk by taking that magnitude of a game and putting it in an inclement weather situation.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, except for the players. The fans always say that. And I automatically think about what if it's, you know, 5 degrees and freezing rain like tonight's supposed to be or whatever night it was supposed to be. That's not right for the kids. Yeah. You don't do that.
In the locker room, but right after the game, you said you were pissed about the officiating.
Yeah.
Was that just kind of heat of the moment, and do you regret that, or you stand by?
No, I don't. I was pissed. You know, and I've shared with our commissioner my concerns and our supervisor officials, and I won't talk about that publicly, but yeah, I was pissed, and that was legit.
More about the Jordan Fuller.
I won't get into the details, but, you know, everybody can take it from there.
Mentioned Kerry Combs earlier. How big a deal is it that he came back?
He's great. I mean, Kerry and I've always had an unbelievable relationship, and his wife and my wife. I think it was big for us, you know. I'm so happy for Jeff. I mean, I kind of went through that process with him, and I think he'll do a marvelous job over time at Boston College. But I, you know, I've always liked Kerry. I think it's great for him to come back. He probably grew in his, all of some of our experiences in life. I think he had a great experience there in the pros, and he'll bring whatever he learned there back to here. And he's, you know, his energy is contagious. I think that's the word Ryan used today too. It's contagious, you know. And so I think he'll be a huge benefit for us.
Big Ten has a new commissioner. It's amazing. He's the sixth, only the sixth, right?
Unbelievable. Think about that.
That's Kevin Ward. How well do you know him? Have you had substantive conversations with him?
Yeah, so I knew Kevin back at when I was at Arizona State, and he was in a law firm there, and I was on the festival board and got to know him, and he and his wife Gretchen and my wife Sheila had dinners back in Arizona, knew his kids. But I'm so happy that he's our commissioner. I think he'll do a marvelous job. We haven't had a lot of substantive conversations. I've had them in group settings with him. I've had a couple of one-on-ones, phone calls. But he's kind of making his rounds through the league. He'll eventually come here to Ohio State, and he'll have a media thing and all that stuff. But he's... I think he's doing a great job. I think he's got a unique viewpoint because he, you know, he's got a son that's playing college football, and you know, he's been at the pro level. I think he'll bring a different kind of perspective.
What do you think are his priorities?
Student athlete welfare first and foremost. I think his focus out of the chute would be around that. And it's kind of appropriate timing because we have so many different things we're dealing with around that. I think that would be it. And then as the business part is always there, you know, and at some point our television contract has to be renewed in the mid-20s, 24, 5, or 6, I forgot. So that business part will come. But I think his biggest thing would be focused initially around student-athlete issues.
Okay. How much will you miss Jim Delaney?
A lot. You know, he was my go-to. He was a calming force because I've known Jim Delaney for 30-plus years. And I was a AD at the age of 29 at Eastern Michigan University. I'm 63 now, and Jim was, you know, the guy that, you know, was just always open. I was calling him from Eastern Michigan University. I mean, the guy is just so knowledgeable. And so, you know, I'll miss him. And, you know, we had a lot of fun times together as I got older. And, you know, he and I started, along with some other ADs, Dan Guerrero, some others used to hang around and drink Diet Cokes and talk. And I'll miss him, man.
Urban, that's right next door, basically. Mm-hmm. What do you see as his role evolving into?
You know, I think it's going to continue to be fluid. He's going to continue to work with our donors, which he does now. He's going to continue to work with some of our student athletes in our leadership program. I think he can continue to work with our assistant coaches. You know, we have a program now with him where assistant coaches who aspire to be head coaches. I think he'll continue to do that. And he does a lot of national stuff. He does a lot of speaking engagements here at the university, here locally, but a lot nationally. So I think that will continue. That's the trajectory he'll continue on. Now, whether that's enough for him from a satisfaction point of view, I don't know. That's a question for him. But those are the primary roles that for us he'll be helpful in, and he's helpful in recruiting still with not just football but other sports. So there's some one-offs here and there where he's very helpful, and he's busy.
I assume you're comfortable with his role on Fox.
Oh yeah, I'm very comfortable with his role on Fox, and he'll come to me. I mean, he and I sit and chat about different things, you know, to talk about on Fox or how to say different things. And you know, what I told him at the very beginning, just be genuine. You know, just don't be, you know, how to do that. With all respect to everybody, you know, just don't be an opinion guy. You know, be genuine, teach something. You know, and I think I don't know how long that can continue, but I think what he's shown in teaching football in a real way, I think it's been really good. Now, that's part of what Fox wanted from him, and I think he followed through with that. So how long that will roll, I mean, that's going to be interesting to watch.
I don't want to get into this in detail, the NIL stuff. But
that's okay.
But how much of that is occupying your time right now?
Not as much as people think. It was from May to really November of last year. It was a lot. I mean, it was a lot. But now the way it's structured to deal with is a little different. So our working group was really intensely working last year. And then we submitted our report in October to the board. And we had to do some work after that. So now what we've done is we've set up what we call legislative solutions groups. There's three groups. There's one that's studying individual licenses. There's one that's studying group licenses. And there's one that's studying what we call work product, which is activities. So I'm on the individual licensing group, primarily as a resource for them, not as a worker, so to speak. So because all the things we learned, they're learning, and they ultimately will create legislation. So I'm a resource. So I'm not in Dallas listening to Michael Watkins from Texas on a presentation on, digital platforms. And, I'm not studying all this stuff around NIL now. I got it in my head. What I'm trying to do is help facilitate others to get to a point where we have legislation. So my time is not as intense as it was.
When do you think that's going to be resolved?
Well, I think it won't be resolved until 21. I do believe that now we still have to submit a report based upon what those groups do in April to the board. I think we'll have something pretty solid then, so there'll be some little resolution then. But then there'll be other pieces that'll be legislation that has to go to the membership to vote on in January of 21. And so now the other problem we got, though, or challenge we have, is there's 34 states who have different laws or have laws teed up. I think there's 18 that actually passed laws, and the others are teeing up laws. We need federal assistance to come up with something that's standard across the country. You can't have all these states have different laws. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. So we need help with that. Now, whether that happens this year or next year, I don't know. But we have a group of presidents who are working with Mark Emmert at the NCAA, who's working with Washington to try and come up with a federal law, because we can't have all the states have different laws. It's just not going to work. So that piece I'm really not involved in. That's a presidential thing. But I'm kind of more into the nuts and bolts, the granular piece, and we'll see.
Okay. I mean, the landscape of college athletics is probably in the midst of dramatic
major change.
Yeah.
Major change. We have to do something in NIL, and the more I got into it last year, the more I realized there are things we can do that can be regulated. There's things that will require minimum regulation. There's things that's going to require major regulation. And I think that there's things we should do and could do in that space. But it's a culture shift in our industry, right? And the thing that's so different about us than the pros or the Olympics is we recruit. In the pros, you get drafted, you go. And the Olympics, you play for your country,
right. But
we recruit, and that's the element that's different for us. So how do we make sure whatever we do, we minimize and mitigate recruiting disadvantages or advantages? And I think whatever we do will not completely create some level playing field in that space, because we've never had it anyway. So it'll be a culture shift for all of us to get used to whatever we come up with in NIL space. But there will be a change.
Because you are one of the haves, and there are a lot of have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in your interest to have it so disadvantaged.
We can't. Yeah.
You don't want to have every game be 63-0.
Yeah, we got to think. That's the thing. You're exactly right, Bill. We'll be fine. Ohio State will be fine. But we have to think about all of the other schools. We have to think about the Mid-American Conference. We have to think about everybody else, you know. And so, you know, what does it mean to the other schools? And so so we do have to think that. That's one of the big issues. And so there's not a competitive balance anyway. But you don't want to have the gap, to your point, have the gap be so big that it becomes really problematic.
Football attendance, just to say one thing, has gone down even here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How much of a concern is that?
You know, what's interesting is a concern, and we have to be on top of it. But I think we've shifted, and we may have shifted a little late. Last year was the first year that we offered mini plans. We've been, you know, I think we got like 6 zones in basketball. You know, we've been doing that in basketball for a long time. Yeah. We probably should have started that a while ago, recognizing that people want a different choice. They don't want to commit to the whole season. You know, game times aren't announced until 2 weeks before, so it's hard to schedule. So how do you provide them options to make a choice? So I think we, you know, I think our continued effort in that space is good. Just making sure that the atmosphere is right. You know, our numbers were down more in our student than in the public population. So really our public population was pretty strong. And so how do we make sure our students, you know, stay strong? Or should we shift our focus? You know, our athletic council is working with a group of students, and our marketing fantasy space is working with a group of students. I've always said in my mind, we got to have 28,000 season tickets for students. So maybe that's not what we should have today. You know, maybe it'll be 24. Right. And then the rest are go public. Yeah. Right. So we got to change our expectations consistent with our market. So that's what our team is going through now.
So much of his name is everywhere. His name is Les Wexner. He's obviously been in the news for not so great reasons. Mm-hmm. How much of a concern is that? Is that something that Ohio State's looking at, saying, okay?
Yeah, I'd like a couple of that, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
How involved are you with the Ohio State presidential search?
A little bit. I'm on, there's a subcommittee of the board. There's a board committee, and then there's a little subcommittee that I'm a part of. And we're helping to provide the search firm with some characteristics so that they can have a profile of what we're looking for. I'm part of that group, and I'm part of my effort with that group is to get feedback from different entities on campus. Like I'm meeting with the university advisory staff next week or the following week, and their committee, get feedback from them. Then I'll provide that to our group and goes to the search firm. I'm kind of a conduit a little bit to help develop the profile, and then go. But the trustees will make the hire. They'll do the interviews.
Right.
So we're more of a conduit to provide feedback into their decision-making process.
So you're not really involved in what you want to see as the president. Mm-hmm. How's your relationship with Michael Drake?
It's great. You know, it's Mike. Great. It's you know, I'm happy for him and Brenda. They made a decision to transition out, and I can see he's happy with it and she's happy with it. And I think he's done some unbelievable things here. Affordability, accessibility, and minority enrollment, all that's improved. So it's good.
Another issue I meant to ask you about, sports gambling.
Yeah.
That's talking about a can of worms.
Yeah. But, you know, it's coming, right? So I've always shared that we know it's coming, but so my biggest concern is how is it going to come? You know, whatever entity that is aligned with it, we have to make sure they have a strong regulatory system and a system that can help us watch trends. So if you go back and study any of the point shaving scandals in collegiate athletics, they weren't contests like Ohio State versus that team up north or Ohio State versus Penn State. They're the other games. It's Ohio State versus Buffalo. Or in basketball, it's, you know, Ohio State versus, you know, whoever, you know, the 300 level RPI schools. And because that's where you don't get caught. And so there's regulatory organizations that have the ability to track and watch behaviors around those games. And so that's what's important to me. It's going to happen. You know, we just have to make sure that we monitor the right way, and we have to make sure that we educate, really increase our education, not just with our student athletes, but the students in the dorms, because that's where our kids are. And so, you know, Justin Fields' knee, you know, is he going to play this weekend or not? That has a big, that, you sure. know, I'm sure that the line changed that week. I don't track that, but I'm sure it did. So that's the type of things that our freshmen in particular can become susceptible to. So anyway, I know what's coming. I just want the right regulatory environment. And I would hope that there's some revenue spinoff, not just for Ohio State, but for all the other public colleges and universities in the state to educate students. Not just student-athletes, but to educate right. students.
Right. Somebody brought this up to me yesterday. The talk of essentially a salary cap for assistant coaches. Have you heard anything about this?
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that.
Okay.
That's new.
Yeah.
That'd be antitrust violation. Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, okay. Your future. I know mm-hmm. your contract expires June of 2022,
right.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a new president coming in. What are your thoughts about yeah. that?
You know, I've always said, Bill, as long as I'm healthy, as long as I'm still passionate, which I am, and as long as they want me, I'm here. You know, I'm not going anywhere. And I don't live by the contract. I live by, you know, am I healthy? Am I still passionate? And do they want me? And not necessarily in that order, because they might not want me and I still might be passionate and healthy. But, I mean, I really don't think that way. I don't. I got a lot of things I want to accomplish, you know, not just for football, but for other sports. So, really, I just got a million things that I'm working on with my teammates and passionate about it. And so I just go day to day, year to year.
You've got the Covelli Center just opened. You got mm-hmm. some other things. How do you kind of view those projects and how they've turned out?
Oh, great! They really have. I think Covelli has really, I mean, it's impacted all the sports there. Men's, women's gymnastics, wrestling. Oh my goodness, wrestling is unbelievable. And the two volleyball programs. We got a new volleyball coach, and it's an intimate environment for them. If you haven't been to a wrestling match, it's just the craziest thing to see. And so it's the most advanced technologically building that we have. The video boards, the lighting system, everything's phenomenal. The experience is crazy. So that's exceptional. It's worked well. The shoemaker, for you interview any student athlete, they will tell you, hands down, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But those are important. We're building a tennis facility now. We're raising money for the lacrosse stadium. We'll get that built at some point. And then we're looking at other things that we ultimately would do. And then, you know, we have our programs. You know, we have our Leadership Institute where 91% of our kids last year had jobs or were going to grad school or going pro. And this year we're already sitting at 42% of our kids who graduate in May already have jobs or in grad school or going pro. So metrics-wise, we're way ahead of where we were last year. And my goal is by graduation in May, I want to be north of 90%. Last year by graduation, we were at 86%. But then we keep working with them after graduation, those who don't have a future yet. So we just got a number of different programs that I'm passionate about. You know, when you give your son or daughter us, we talk about playing their sport and helping them grow as people, getting their degree. But what you're most interested in is making sure they got a job when they're done. So we really focused on that. There's just a myriad of things that I'm passionate about.
Is there anything else that you would want to add? Any topic I didn't cover?
Well,
that
you hit on everything. You hit on everything. I think you hit on everything. I mean, I've got a great group of coaches, and Chris is doing a great job there. So I think you hit on everything. So we're in good shape, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.